Wednesday is movie day, and it's time for us to visit with Bill Brigoli. How's it going, Bill?
It's going pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm just hanging in there, and, you know, it's good.
Okay, well, the box office is like that. It kind of hung in there over the last weekend. Maybe with people were waiting to see the eclipse or something, but a few went to the theaters, and Godzilla, King Kong, The New Empire was number one again, but it slipped 63% from opening week.
That's what I heard, but it's still way ahead of, you know, of what it costs to make.
Exactly. In fact, over 10 days, it made $132 million in just 10 days, and the budget was $135, so they've made their money back by now.
Ah, it's in the black.
Yeah, and there's another example of that in number two, which was a new film called Monkey Man that opened up. And
yes, the Indian one.
Right, and the distributor bought it from Netflix, which made it, and they paid $9 million for it, and it made $10 million in the theater. So they're already in the black after 1 week.
Well, it just goes to show you when you have something unique and different, it works.
Yeah, it worked for them. And Ghostbusters was third. It's now been, third weeks in theaters. That made $9 million. The First Omen, which was... a new movie, didn't do all that great, $8.4 million. And people didn't like it all that much either because they did that CinemaScore thing with it where they asked people when they come out, what did you think, and they rate them, and it only made 67%. So that's not great.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Of course, sometimes when you just come out of a theater, you don't really know what you thought of it. At least I'm that way. I need a few hours to kind
I think, there's things about certain movies that, you know, when, for example, The Wizard of Oz, when it came out, everyone thought it was horrible, you know?
Yeah. Well, didn't do well until it showed up on TV.
Well,
and
pretty
it became
much.
A classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kung Fu Panda 4 was in fifth place. That's still making money, and that was $7.9 million.
Well, you can't go wrong with martial arts, can you?
I guess not. I just realized that who's the famous martial artist from Hong Kong? Jackie Chan just turned 70 this week.
Oh boy! Well,
yeah,
more power to
but
him.
But he's still making movies. Yeah,
more power to him.
That's right. Well, coming up this week, we have an interesting movie that's gonna. It is the kind of movie that even the political news shows on TV will be talking about. It's called Civil War. It'll be in theaters. Stars Kirsten Dunst and her husband Jesse Plemons. Nick Offerman has a great voice. He plays the president in this, and it takes place in the not too distant future where California and some other states split from the rest of America, sort of like Confederates. And this follows a team of military embedded journalists as they race against time to reach Washington, D.C. before the rebel factions descend on the White House.
Oh, okay. It's a thriller.
Yeah. It's a thriller. A relatively inexpensive one. It costs $50 million to make, but it's A24, that funky little studio that releases all sorts of interesting art movies. It's their most expensive film at $50 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see how that does for them. I got a feeling they're going to make a profit in a week or two, but it's not all about money.
Yeah.
Also in theaters a week, we have something called Arcadian. Which is down south, right? I remember lyrics Arcadian Driftwood.
Well, yeah, it's actually it's Acadian.
Somewhere down Louisiana or something.
Yeah, Acadian turns into Cajun, but yeah.
Right,
it should be interesting.
And it's about a man played by Nicolas Cage and his twin teenage sons, played by guys who aren't twins, actually, Max Jenkins and Jade Martell, and they have to fight or survive in this remote farmhouse at the end of the world, and... challenges of growing up are even made worse when strange things start happening after the sun sets.
Ah, okay.
And the whole thing was written and directed by Nicolas Cage's agent, manager, and producing partner, a guy named Michael Nylon. And he wrote another film called Braven for Nick Cage. And in preparation for this, Mr. Cage actually isolated himself with his family for 3 months.
Okay, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, different ways of preparing for films. Yeah. Another film that's going to be, I think, in theaters and Hulu is called The Greatest Hits. And it's sort of a romance, sort of a music movie, sort of a time travel movie. It's about this girl who finds art imitating life when she realizes that certain songs can transport her back in time, literally.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, there are certain songs that remind me of my days working my way through college in a kitchen.
Sure,
that sort
yeah.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all have different songs for different jobs we've had in our life. So she thinks, well, I can use this to renew my love interest who dumped me. But the thing is, in the present, there's a guy who likes her too. A couple of guys, in fact.
Mm. Well, have they figured out how to use the music to transport? Because they could just chase her.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
So what happens with that one? Another one's called Sting. It's not about the guy who heads the police band. It's a woman, young lady, cold, stormy night in New York City, and this weird object falls from the sky, smashes through the window of this rundown apartment building, and it's an egg. And from this egg comes a little strange little spider, and it's discovered by a young girl, a 12-year-old named Charlotte, of course.
Ah.
Kind of a spider movie and a girl. Yeah, the name is Charlotte. She's obsessed with comic books, and despite her stepdad's best efforts to connect with her, she just wants to go through a comic book called Fang Girl. And this little
Fang.
Spider and the girl, yeah. She keeps it as a pet. She names it Sting. And it gets bigger and bigger, and its appetite for blood increases, too. So, yeah, it's a horror movie.
Oh, boy. Interesting.
Yeah. And then we got a movie that's a remake called Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, my gosh. I'm one of the few people that paid money to see that in the theaters when Christina Applegate was in it.
Exactly. That was way back in 1991.
That's correct. And
right.
Oh, my goodness. Why was, of all the movies to remake from that era, why that?
Yeah, I don't know, but they did it. Well, they changed the sort of the ethnicity of the class. This is mostly African Americans. But this wonderful old white actress, June Squibb, plays a babysitter who
I see.
All of a sudden dies, mm-hmm. and the kids have to figure out what to do. June Squibb is this wonderful actress, and I heard she has another art movie coming out that's really going to do well. Also coming up this week from Netflix is a movie called Stolen. It's about this woman. This is interesting. This is up in Norway, where a woman has to struggle to defend her indigenous heritage in a world where everybody's becoming xenophobic. Climate change is threatening her reindeer herd.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that, again, on Netflix. Another one on Netflix is called Strange Way of Life. And this is by Pedro Almodovar. He's the Spanish director who did Talk to Her, Woman on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, that sort of thing. And this has his first American actor in quite a while. Ethan Hawke stars in it.
Mm.
And also Pedro Pascal. And it's about this guy who rides a horse across the desert to visit his friend, Sheriff Jake. And they're happy, but Jake says, you know, the real reason you came here is not quite what you think. We're not just going down memory lane. So he makes some interesting movies on Motivar, so we'll have to see how this, again, that's just on Netflix, so it'll be easy to watch. And finally, a movie on Netflix called The Sympathizer with Robert Downey Jr., of all people.
Hmm, okay.
He just won himself an Oscar, yeah. And this takes place during the end of the Vietnam War, when this guy was embedded with the South Vietnamese Army. He flees the United States, because we brought a lot of those people over here, and then he takes up residence in a refugee community, and he continues to secretly spy and report back to the Viet Cong.
Interesting. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and it's based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning book, so that could be interesting. Again, that's on HBO Max, so lots of very different kind of movies opening this week.
Well, that sounds like a week's worth of entertainment there. So, hopefully, hopefully it'll keep the families with kids, because the kids are off of school this week. It'll keep them at bay, you know.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.